Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I'd like to remind you as we begin that we have very nearly completed our discussion of Matthew 19 verses 1 through 11. All that is left to say is something about the disciples' response to Jesus' teaching. Remember, the teaching is about God's view of divorce and remarriage. I hope that you have been with us and that you've received and accepted the truth Christ speaks of, along with me and all of these other listeners. I pray there will be a desire in your heart, as there is in mine, to obey our Lord in marriage, and if there is divorce and if there is remarriage. By the time we get to the response of Jesus' disciples, who have been listening attentively to how Christ answered the Pharisees, the 12 have learned that marriage is between one man as one flesh with one woman for one lifetime. Marriage is permanent and divorce is not an option. Marriage is the will of God, divorce is not the will of God. But because of the hardness of people's hearts, because of sin, Jesus does give one exception. He permits divorce and remarriage where there is ongoing and unrepentant adultery in a marriage. Continual sexual immorality by one's spouse frees the innocent spouse from the marriage. Otherwise, no exceptions. As Jesus said, "What God has joined together, no person is to separate." Let me read verses 10 and 11 of Matthew chapter 19 again and then explain. If you have access to your Bible, you can follow along in Matthew 19, verses 10 and 11. The disciples said to Jesus, "If the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry." But the Lord said to them, "Not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given." By now, the Pharisees, who had failed to trap Jesus with their test question, had taken off. They will reconvene somewhere and come up with a new plot to get the Lord killed. Meanwhile, the Gospel of Mark, in a parallel account, Mark 10, tells us that Jesus was alone with the disciples. I suspect the disciples were reacting out of surprise to what Jesus had clearly taught. You see, the disciples grew up in and lived in a similar culture to what we have today when it came to divorce. Divorce was easy. Divorce was common. It was considered no big deal. When someone got married, they did so knowing that if the marriage was not working out, then, well, just divorce. And after divorce, one could easily just remarry someone else. And the disciples, as with all the Jews, had heard the teaching of the majority of rabbis that taught divorce for any reason at all was perfectly acceptable. Easy divorce became a part of their culture. Scholars tell us the Talmudic texts of the rabbis said, quote, "A bad wife is like leprosy to her husband. What is the remedy? Let him divorce her and be cured of his leprosy." And, "If a man has a bad wife, it is a religious duty to divorce her." Unquote. Well, these disciples must have accepted that false teaching. And so they were shocked when Jesus came along and said that marriage is a permanent, lifelong commitment. Only in the death of one spouse can a marriage be said to be over. And just one other exception, adultery. But even where there is adultery, divorce is certainly not required. So the disciples said to Jesus, "If the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it is better not to marry." Basically, if you're saying marriage means we have to make a sincere and persistent lifelong commitment to our wives, if there is no way out of marriage, then why would anyone want to be married? We might as well just stay single. Jesus, what you say requires too much commitment. And their issue is really with this. one marriage that lasts one lifetime. And this is the same problem so popular in our world today. Countless people, both men and women, would much prefer to remain uncommitted, single, and free, they think, rather than to marry if they accept Jesus' teaching that marriage is permanent. Anyone feeling claustrophobic? Marriage is like a life-term prison sentence. You enter your cell with just one other person, and once you are in there, you cannot ever get back out, except by death. Obviously, that is not what marriage is, nor is that how I see it. But that is the mindset that many people do have, and we see that statistically, especially among young people. Well, the Lord responds by acknowledging that singleness is not the answer for most people. Jesus says to his own, "Not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given." Meaning, not all believers in the Lord, not all Christian men and women can remain single and live a life that honors Christ. The simple test is for those who have chosen not to marry. Can they control their natural and God-given passion for sex? I understand, and certainly Jesus understands, that not all people who are unmarried, single, intentionally chose to be that way. There are many Christians I have met who desire to be married, sometimes more than anything in this whole world, but it is just not God's will they be married. But Jesus' statement here is for the disciples who propose an intentional choice to avoid the lifelong commitment in marriage by staying single. And to these the Lord says, "Not all men can accept this statement, but only those to whom it has been given." Meaning, true celibacy is a gift of God, and not everyone has been given this gift. And we know this to be true, right? Most men and women cannot live their lives without the expression of sexual intercourse in the context of marriage. And marriage is the only context for sex between one man and one woman for one lifetime. That is a one-flesh marriage. This is why sexual promiscuity is so common in our culture. Sex with multiple partners is as practiced as starting your morning with a cup of coffee or putting your pants on one leg at a time. It's the unmarried, and sadly often the married, taking their pants off and jumping into bed with whomever they wish. That's the sin. If you've been with us, listening attentively from the start of Matthew 19, then you'll remember the context of this part of the chapter. Herod Antipas and Herodias' illegitimate and unlawful marriage. And the Pharisees' divorce for any reason and remarry for any reason lifestyle. The common view of marriage at that time was nothing like what Jesus commanded. The disciples fell into the trap of accepting the prevalent view of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And likewise, we have a prevalent view today, wherever you are listening, of marriage, divorce, and remarriage that is largely incompatible with Jesus' view, and therefore an expression of great disobedience towards the living God. Jesus, as always, prompts us to ask and answer a question of application. How will we respond to what he commands? How has your view of marriage, divorce, and remarriage been changed by what Jesus has said? Have you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you are not yet a Christian, but you've been tuning in and Christ has spoken to you in your circumstance. How will you respond to what he has said here in the Bible? As longtime listeners well know, and as you newcomers will get to know, our source for telling us who God is and what his opinion is on everything is the Bible. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. What the Bible says is what God says. Admittedly, we need to interpret and apply the Bible to our lives. As I said yesterday, if you have a different interpretation of Jesus in Matthew 19 or elsewhere, let me know what it is. I'd definitely like to hear it. Or send me your questions. You can simply email me or send me a letter to my post office box. I realize that in this series, it could have prompted many questions. I would love to hear what those are, and I will be happy to answer them in due course, one by one. The email is mark@godisministry.org, and the mailing address is God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. You can also contact me via my website, godisministry.org. What I have offered you is my understanding of Jesus Christ, who is our master teacher. I leave this with you for your consideration and prayerfully as a help to you or someone you may know. And as promised, I have two helpful book recommendations for you. I'm going to tell you about one today and another one tomorrow. My prayer throughout this series has been that I can help you, and I want to introduce to you a resource now. This first one is called Broken Vows, Divorce and the Goodness of God by John Greco. This is a short book, a speedy read, and a great resource for anyone who is divorced for any reason. Grounded in scripture and honest in personal experience, John's wife abandoned their marriage. John is a gifted writer. I read the book in just a few hours, and I recommend it to you. The title is Broken Vows, Divorce and the Goodness of God, and the author is John Greco. Greco. I'd like to give away a few of these, so if you want one for free, write to me today. That's right, for free. Otherwise, you can get it on Amazon, another website, or in a Christian bookstore. It is available on the Kindle. And I'll have more on marriage tomorrow, plus another book recommendation. So I hope that you will take what we have learned today and dwell on it, and then that you will join me again tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.